Wednesday, 12 or 12, 10, 25. We're looking at what is an intercessor, part two. I want to read again what the Lord said to me about what intercessors are. It's not just everyone praying on their own, but everyone as a team praying strategically with a definite target. Not shotgun prayers, but like expert marksmen, dead on target. Intercessory prayer for the apostle, the general, and intercessors pray for the apostle, the general, and they also are there. They're also marksmen, and they have their eye on the target and pray through to victory. All of this is Holy Spirit directed by God's plan. A strong apostle and intercessory team are an unbeatable combination. Prophets are especially needed in this endeavor, for they reveal to the team God's secrets, His blueprints for every endeavor. You can pray about this, but I believe the Lord revealed to me that Danny would be head of this intercessory team. He would receive the orders to pass them down through the ranks, making sure the team are all praying in line with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show two examples of Spirit-filled prayers that are laid down in Scripture. You're well aware of them. Matthew 6 is the first one. Starting at verse 9 there. Well, let's just start with eight. Be not ye therefore like unto them, in other words, like the world, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, and he goes on. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you don't forgive, the Father can't forgive you. It's basically what it's saying here. In other words, there's a responsibility. We have to walk in love and walk in forgiveness, whether we like it or not, because people can be ugly at times. The other one was by Paul that he dictated to the young Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. These are Holy Ghost directed prayers that everyone can use. These are general prayers. Our endeavor is to get as detailed as we possibly can. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's one thing the church is going to have to get a hold of. Quit bashing your leaders. Quit bashing your leaders. You think, it's okay to talk about them if they're evil. No, it isn't. This doesn't say if they're Christians. That says all in authority. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Because if you don't pray, then God has no entry. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What does love do? Love never fails. I believe to pray for leaders, especially even if they're wicked, is to open the doorway for love to make the way. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. If there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, he's it. There ain't nothing else. One day they'll stand before God like we all will. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We hear a lot of trashing and bashing going on, but we need to make it a habit to pray for our leaders and all in authority. We can't complain about what we're seeing and what we don't like if we don't. God's given us a way through these Holy Ghost prayers. Romans 8 says the Holy Ghost is the one that prays through us. Let's turn there. We're not just doing this on our own steam. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He helps us pray. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See, I believe it's in context with what they're praying and following the Holy Ghost. A lot of people use that out of context for a lot of things. Oh, you know, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. No, that's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about intercessory prayer. That's when you hook up with the Holy Ghost and you're praying the perfect will of God. Then you can know you'll have a good outcome. Always. Strong's here, intercession. Intercede on behalf of or make intercession for. When we take hold with the Holy Spirit, we can be assured that we are always praying in the perfect will of God. We don't have to question it all. Men's prayers in English are great at times, but only when they are led by the Spirit. This is an inside operation from start to finish. Everything is from the inside out concerning the Christian walk. I'd venture to say a few Christians know that, but a whole lot don't, because they haven't been taught. Men's prayers in English are great at times, but only when they're led by the Spirit. This is an inside operation from start to finish. So we don't need to waste our time trying to make up prayers that sound good. You know, I've seen a few things like when they have the president calls somebody up to speak or whatever, and they're going to say a prayer. Every one of them are sitting there reading it off a sheet of paper. Except for one young man, a young black man. I mean, he closed his eyes and he prayed by the Holy Spirit. You could sense the Spirit of God. I tell you, you can surely tell a difference. Okay, we're not building a temple made with hands, but a spiritual house. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Jesus run the money changers out of the natural temple. But this is a temple not made with hands. Okay, let's look at some more. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. He is not about how long we can pray, how flowery our prayers are. That's not what it's about. It's about your Holy Ghost connection. See, the Holy Ghost has got the plan. He's got it all. And he knows what to do about everything. So he's the one. He's the one that has it. He's in charge. God has put him in charge. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6. We'll look at 14. It says, be not ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So there's a reason he sent Jesus, so that he no longer would have to be in a box, in a temple behind the veil, barred off from his people. Now he's inside through the Holy Spirit. That's what he wanted all along. Okay, Ephesians. This is chapter 2, 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This isn't natural. This is supernatural. This is a Holy Ghost operation all the way. I don't pray much in English. Just don't. Don't have to. Don't want to. I would like to continue looking at more scripture on intercessory prayer and what happens when we don't intercede. Look around you. We were talking about transgenders earlier and homosexuality. In the space of less than 10 years, we've seen it explode, not just in our nation, but in the nations of the world. It's like all of a sudden, every one of them that were in the closet just swung the doors open and just were on television, in your face. Let's go to Isaiah 5. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon the earth. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression for righteousness. But behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there is no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an omer shall yield an ephah. There's a reason that this country is in such financial distress, and so many people can't even get by without welfare programs. When people turn from God, the land becomes barren. The hedge of protection that God puts about this nation, when we don't obey God, it gets broken down. Who breaks it down? Well, the enemy can come in and break it down. Okay, Ezekiel 13. You can read all through this book. You see it in demonstration. 13, verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge, for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. How many intercessors are there out there? How many have stood in the gap and made up the hedge? Apparently not enough. Keep going, Ezekiel 22. Now we know what happened in Ezekiel's day. God absolutely was transported by his chariot out of the temple. It was so vile. The hole in the wall, chapter 8 of Ezekiel. He got to see the stuff that we've had exposed about our own nation, about D.C. and underground and all of that. That's what was going on in Ezekiel's day, but they were doing it under the temple. Ezekiel 13:5.
But just read that.
Oh, I did. Sorry. 22. Sorry, 30. Thanks for noticing. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. He found none. Last week we looked at the very first part of the broken down hedge in part one. It's a gap or a break in the line. Right here, hedge. To entwine, shut in, for formation, protection, or resistance. It's just like 2 Chronicles. If my people call by my name, well, humble themselves and pray, then I'll turn. If they'll turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. In other words, he'll come in and plug up the breaches. That's what intercessory prayer does. It's like you're standing in the gap for another. And so we have to have that attitude. We are here to mend these fences that have been broken down. We looked at Job and how God had put a hedge about Job, but the devil broke the hedge down and began to touch Job's life. Okay, Ecclesiastes. This is chapter 10. We wonder, natural people, and a lot of Christian people don't understand there is a spiritual world. And there are things that happen in the spirit realm that have repercussions in the natural realm. Like, oh, it don't matter. Let's just let them be. Let's just, you know, live and let live. No, that's not how it works. Not in God's eyes, anyway. Verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. We've been bitten in this country, smitten and bitten, with the ungodly agendas of the wicked. It's everywhere. We are of blame. We haven't taken the gospel like we should. It's the alternative. Okay. You can see that this is the state of our nation and the nations of the world. All right, let's go to the New Testament. Mark. Chapter 12. To intercede is to stand in the gap for another. It could be a person. It could be a nation. This is Jesus here, and he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And at the season he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. This is what's been happening. This has happened throughout history right here, what's happened here. God sent his servants. They wouldn't listen. Sent his son. They killed him, wouldn't listen to him either. Help us, Lord. And have you not read this scripture, the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner? This was the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. Yeah, Jesus called the kettle black, for sure. He called these people of his day the wicked. He called them out. And they hated him for it. They killed him for it. They've rejected the hedge of protection from the Lord. This is part of what we will do as intercessors, standing in the gap and making up the hedge as the Holy Spirit directs us. We once again need God's hedge of protection around this nation. The serpent has broken through and bitten. We have intercessors that repair the breaches. See, a breach is a breaking forth, and it's not a breaking forth you want. We're going to write Isaiah 58. It kind of sums it up. The places that were once strong have been broken down. Morality is one of the biggest. Chapter 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest not knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. It is such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul. It is to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him. Wilt thou call this a fast and an unacceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. For the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. Thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We have our jurisdiction and we're to obey the Holy Spirit as He reveals His plan to us so we can repair the breaches in this area. They'll be repaired in the Spirit. Jesus gave a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. One more scripture, we'll be done. Luke chapter 14, our one passage. Starting with 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent began to make excuse. The first one said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. A lot of people can't handle that. They've got their natural things to do, and those seem to be the most important. They show up at Sunday morning and Wednesday night, but that's, you know, they might plunk a few bucks in the plate, but I think it's a bit more than that. For this nation to have gone as rogue as it has so quickly and so thoroughly, it's going to take people being serious with God and willing to stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be a repairer of the breach.